ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
I look at this world and I go, man, Lord, it's time. Just crush it. But you know what? I wonder if people were saying that before I got saved. Hopefully they were praying for the lost. I think they were. I know my wife was, for me. I want the Lord to come back with all my heart. I can't wait for that day. But I also see a world of people that are lost and are dying in their sins. And we got to have compassion upon them. We got to care for them. I think, you know, all these judgments here in Revelation are not to go, yeah, Lord, get them. It's to say, oh, Lord, give us a little more time to minister the gospel to these people, right? We got to have that kind of attitude, because for us, this is the worst it's going to get. For the world, for the unsaved world, this is the best it's going to get for them. Everything else, it's the judgment of God, where they will be cast ultimately into the lake of fire, where they will spend eternity in darkness apart from God. Lord, give us a little more time to bring the gospel message to the lost. Some of you, if you have the King James Version of the Bible, it puts verse 6 like this, and I don't think it's correct, but I'll just read it to you. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein are, and the earth and the things that are therein are, and the sea and the things that which are therein, that there should be time no longer. That's what it says. There should be time no longer in the King James. I don't think that's correct. I think the New King James puts it correctly, and I like the way the Living Bible puts it. It says, and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and everything in it, and the earth and all that it contains, and the sea and its inhabitants, that there should be no more delay. God's not going to cease time. Why? Well, because we still have other judgments to come. We have the seventh trumpet judgment to come. We have the seven bowl judgments to come. We've got the battle of Armageddon to come. He's not ceasing time, but there's no more delay. These things are going to be happening very quickly now. This is God's final judgment. And what does it say in verse 7? The mystery of God would be finished as he declared to his servants the prophets. What? When we think of a mystery, first of all, we tend to think of something that no one knows. But in the Greek, that's not what this word means. It's speaking biblically of something that we don't know but has been revealed to us by God. It's not something we can know by our own intuition or by our own personal investigation. That's what Paul talked about with the rapture. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 57. You see, prior to God revealing to Paul about the rapture, it was unknown to man. I think there's hints of it in the Old Testament, but it wasn't known. The idea of the rapture was not something that the Old Testament saints knew about. But God revealed it to Paul. It was a mystery, something that God revealed to him. And John tells us here in Revelation 10 that at the sounding of the seventh trumpet, the mystery of God will be finished. And the word finished in the Greek is teleo. It means accomplish or make an end, expire, full up, conclude. What's the mystery that's about to be finished? Think about it. When Jesus came the first time, did he set up his kingdom on this earth? No. In fact, when Jesus came the first time, the kingdom became internal. God indwelt us. But when he comes again, the kingdom's going to be external. He's going to set up a literal kingdom in Jerusalem. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And we see in Revelation 11:15 this spoken of. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." You see, God's judgment will be complete. And the Lord's going to return. He's going to set up his kingdom, and righteousness will fill this land. I can't wait for that day. I mean, I'm having a hard time with TV and their commercials right now. Their commercials are obnoxious. Not even speaking of the TV shows. Righteousness will fill this land. Wouldn't it be cool to turn on the news and go, "Oh, it's a bright sunny day today. It's about 75 degrees, little bit of a breeze, and nothing bad to report." Can't wait for that. Can't wait for the day when no more children will die of cancer or other diseases. Or adults. Or teenagers. That's going to be all done away with one day. I long for that day. In fact, Habakkuk 2:14 says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Wow. The whole earth filled with the knowledge of God. Awesome time. And judgment comes, and then the kingdom comes, right? It's the completion. What the Old Testament prophets spoke of is coming to pass. And again, I've said this before, Revelation is kind of taking what the Old Testament prophets spoke about of the last days and putting it into one book. And now we have it all together and we see the plan. Now, do we know the minute details? No. But we see the big picture. And we know what's going to happen. In fact, we see it happening before our eyes. Now, I can't believe it. Today, I actually started working on the prophecy update. Because it's November. I can't. It takes me weeks to put the prophecy update together. It's not like doing a study where you have all the stuff right there. It's looking out at the what's going on in the world and applying it then to the scriptures and seeing what the scriptures have to say. Time is flying by. And again, keep your eyes on Jesus, guys. Well, look at verse 8 here in Revelation 10. "Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, 'Go, take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth.' And I went to the angel and said to him, 'Give me the little book.' And he said to me, 'Take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth.' And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter." This little book, I believe it represents the Word of God. It represents what's going to be taking place in these next judgments. This is not the scroll that was taken out, that no one could take out of the Father's right hand until Jesus stepped forward and took the scroll of judgment out of his hand in Revelation chapter 5, I believe it is. John's told, take this scroll, and he does. And what is John going to do? He's told to eat it. And people laugh at that. Oh, look how funny that is. What is he going to cut it up in little pieces and swallow it? Does he need any salt or pepper with it to add some flavor? You know, those are skeptics to me. Have you ever devoured a book? Sure. We read a book. Sometimes we just devour it. We can't put it down. We're just taking it in, right? In fact, that's exactly what the Greek word that John uses for eat means. To devour it. Not to take it in and eat the pages of the book, but to take it into your being, digested into your life, into your innermost being. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15:16, "Your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." John's told, take this little book, eat it. And as he took it into his life, it was sweet to his taste. And don't you find that to be true as you're reading God's word? It's sweet. The promises that God gives to us, the encouragement he gives to us, even the correction he gives to us is sweet because it shows that he loves us, he cares for us. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11, we're told this. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Now, I'm not a big honey fan, but once in a while I'll have a spoonful of honey. And it is very sweet, isn't it? And that's how God's word should be as we take it in. It should be sweet in our lives. Like I said, those blessings and promises that God can give to us, words we are to treasure, hold on to, be comforted by. And also to keep. God's word is sweet, it's refreshing, it's nourishing. But if you refuse to keep God's word, there is a judgment. You see, as you begin to digest the things of God, you also see the consequences of disobedience. A message of judgment that's coming upon those who have rejected Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's bitter when you realize what's going to happen to the lost. Judgment's coming. And like I said, your heart should burn for the unsaved. It should be a wake-up call to the reality of what we should do. Share the gospel. Point people to Jesus. And it's hard. I mean, I don't know. As you're going through Revelation, hopefully this is a hard book for you as you see these judgments that are coming upon this earth. Yeah, we understand what's coming. Jesus Christ is coming back. But what's happening to the people of this earth? Because they rejected Jesus. Now, several weeks ago, I was corresponding with Mike, and he was sharing some of the things in regard to Bible prophecy. And, it was exciting and sad. Exciting to know the Lord is coming for his bride, the church, and things are getting close. But also sad because the judgment of God is coming upon those who has rejected him. And Mike said, yeah, it's truly bittersweet. Yeah, absolutely. In Ezekiel chapter 3, starting in verse 1, we're told this. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, eat what you find, eat this scroll, and go, speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the scroll. And he said to me, Son of man, feed your belly, and fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey and sweetness. Then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel, and speak with my words to them. Verse 17, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. You see, we are not to just go along with what the world is saying. The world's going down the toilet, and we need to rescue them. And we speak forth the truth. Now, we need to speak it in love. We don't go and condemn them and beat them up, but we share the love of Christ with them. We show compassion towards them. We ask God, Lord, what is this person? What do they need to hear? What are they going through? God will show you what they need to hear. That's our responsibility. Ezekiel, just like John, was told to eat God's word. Take it in to your life. And I think unless we take God's word into our life, we're not going to be able to give to others what we don't have ourselves. You have to spend time in the word of God. And God's never going to force us to read his word, to spend time in it. He's not going to force feed you. What he does is he hands us his word. and you have to take it into your life. You have to desire to know God. I love Psalm 42, where the psalmist said, "As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." And when we wake up in the morning, I know sometimes some people don't wake up and they're not, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed when they wake up. For me, I don't know, I'm awake. You know, I get up, I'm awake. My wife takes a little longer. It's just the way she's made and I'm made. That's how some people are. I get up, I'm ready to go. Lord, what do you have for me today in your word? As I'm going through your word. And then as I'm studying the scriptures to share on Sundays or on Sunday evenings with the men's group or Thursday evenings with you guys, I'm always amazed. And, you know, I'm a few weeks ahead of you guys. And as I'm going through these studies, man, I'm so pumped up. I'm ready. I got to do this one now. I'm like, oh, no, I'm still back over here. I have a few more weeks before I get to this study to teach it. But it's just God just ministers so much. And we should be that excited with the word of God to hunger and thirst after him. And you know what? If you hunger and thirst after God, he's going to fill you. Remember when God fed the children of Israel during their wilderness wanderings with manna from heaven, right? Angels' food. And what did God tell them? Go and get enough manna for how many days? One day. If you get more than that, it's going to rot. It's going to stink. And some people go, hey, I'm collecting for a whole week. Then I don't have to bother picking this stuff up every day. And that didn't help them. Yeah, before the Sabbath, they can pick up 2 days' supply. But that was the only time. What does that mean? Well, you have to be in God's word on a daily basis. If not, you're going to be weakened. It's just the way it goes. You have to take it in daily, as, you know, just like the children of Israel did in their wilderness wanderings, feeding on God's word. Remember what Joshua was told as prior to their going into the land of Israel, the promised land. And I think Joshua was a little nervous. Moses had the children of Israel for 40 years and they never made it in, right? And now Joshua was leading them. He's like, oh man, I hope I don't have another 40 years with these guys. And this is what the Lord told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. In other words, 7 days without the word of God is going to make 1 week. And not W-E-E-K, W-E-A-K, week. We need to be in God's word. And as we take it in, yes, it's bittersweet. The judgment, the bitterness of that for those who reject Jesus, but the sweetness with the promises that God has for us. Psalm 119, 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Absolutely. Absolutely. And look at how this chapter closes here, verse 11 of Revelation 10. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. That's exactly what John is going to do as he gives these words of judgment to many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. And doesn't it continue on to minister to people today? Absolutely it does. You know, the greatest reason of telling others about Jesus is because we know that judgment is coming upon this world. That's going to be devastating. It's the greatest motivation, I believe, for sharing the gospel. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. People just want to talk about the love of God, right? And make no mistake about it, God's love is amazing. But he's also a righteous judge. And thus he will judge people. Our judgment was already paid for. If you've come into saving faith with Jesus, Jesus bore our sins and we've received that atonement, that forgiveness, by asking him to be Lord and Savior of our lives. But if you reject him, you're going to be judged. And I realize that, you know, some people feel, hey, religion, you know, talking about God and stuff is a personal thing. Have you ever read that in the scriptures? It's never personal. It's always speaking to people. It's always sharing. Go into all the world and bring the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to them. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe the things that I've taught you. It's never personal. It's always to everyone. It's got to be open. Do you believe what you say you believe? Then how is it manifested in your life? During sporting events, people get all dressed up, right? You know, you go watch the football games, you know, and you see these guys and they just got their outfits on. They're all dressed up, all decked out, you know. Why? Because they're passionate about their team. And what happens when we become passionate about Jesus? Oh, you're a fanatic. You're darn right I am. Of course I'm a fanatic about Jesus. That's the greatest thing in the world. There is no one else I want to be a fanatic about than Jesus Christ. Now, you could accept it or reject it. That's your choice. But it's not going to change how I live out my faith. We need to let people know what we believe. We need to let them see what the Bible has to say about the days we're living in. As Paul said to Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for teaching, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word is living, it's profitable, and it will teach you the things you need to know. In fact, Paul encouraged Timothy to preach the word, to be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Because the day's going to come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine because they have tickling ears. They're going to see teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. But you preach the word. I don't care if it's in season or out of season. I don't care if people like it or dislike it. And I realize people may not like what I do. But I'm not here to please people. I'm here to please God. And I pray that as I'm teaching God's word, that people will be blessed and encouraged and strengthened in the faith. But just because people don't like it, it's not going to stop me from doing it. And that's Paul's whole point to Timothy, in season and out of season. Thomas Paine, an immigrant to America in 1787, leaped from obscurity to fame after writing some brilliant pamphlets on freedom. And then he made a fatal mistake. He began to write his masterpiece called The Age of Reason, and it scoffed at Christianity. This will destroy the Bible, he predicted. Within 100 years, Bibles will be found only in museums or in must corners of secondhand bookstores. And his book was published in London in 1794. And that book brought him so much misery and loneliness that he once said, I would give worlds if I had them, had The Age of Reason never been written. This guy, Paine, became a bedridden invalid until his death. He was friendless, alone, as he died in 1809. And what is the Bible? It's still out there. It's still a bestseller. People come and go, and many have echoed the same words as Mr. Paine, but the Bible continues on. God's word is going to continue to stand. I don't care what people try to do it, even in the darkest days, because it's a light to point people to the true and living God, even during the tribulation period. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. We need to always remember that. God's word is our guidebook. It helps light our path as we go down into this world to bring the gospel message. You want to see where you're going. You don't want to get all tripped up. Be in his word. Let God guide you by his spirit. Because the days are going to get tougher. But our God's not worried. And neither should we. We should be excited that God can use a person like me, like you, to bring glory and honor to him. And to see people come into the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, again, we come before you. And we thank you for your word. As we've seen this evening, and what John was told, that the word is going to be bittersweet. Yes, sweetness is with the promises, the blessings of God for our lives, but the bitterness of the judgment for those who have rejected you. Lord, give us a passion for the lost. Give us a boldness to speak forth your word to a lost and dying world. Bring people across our path so we have opportunities to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We love you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.